could see gripping depictions of power in Washington, D.C. these days in the movie Zero Dark Thirty, the series Homeland, which takes viewers into the inner White House and CIA. But the more intense drama just might be found in the C-SPAN hallways of the U.S. House of Representatives and the series House of Cards.
We are not nominating you for Secretary of State. I know he made you a promise, but circumstances have changed.
The nature of promises, Linda, is that they remain immune to changing circumstances.
Actor Kevin Spacey, playing a House Majority Whip, Francis Underwood, who's snubbed for Secretary of State, leads to a back-channel relationship with an aspiring reporter.
Okay, so why are you here, Ms. Barnes?
I need somebody I can talk to.
We're talking.
I protect your identity. I print whatever you tell me, and I'll never ask any questions.
And what makes you think I don't already have such an arrangement with one of your colleagues?
Because if you did, you wouldn't have let me through the door.
You might call House of Cards Macbeth meets the Mary Tyler Moore Show with no laughs, set in Washington, D.C. Shot in a brooding visual style that is fresh and speaks directly to the camera, House of Cards is being distributed on Netflix in full-season, bingeable packages of episodes. Real-life House Majority Whip in Congress today, Kevin McCarthy, probably wishes he had the powerful tools of the imaginary whip played by actor Kevin Spacey. But that he can actually get things done only makes Frank Underwood more interesting to the political classes, says Bo Willimon, creator, producer, and writer of House of Cards.
The great advantage to a character who's a whip is they hold a great deal of power within their caucus, within Congress, but they tend to be more shadowy. A lot of people don't know who the majority and minority whips of the parties are in the Senate and the House. And so you get to have someone who's a master politician, but at the same time can avoid the public scrutiny that a majority leader or Speaker of the House has to contend with.
And somebody motivated, in this case, Kevin Spacey, by revenge, and a reporter who's motivated by extraordinary ambition.
I think Francis Underwood's motivation extends beyond revenge. He is slighted. We see that very early on in the first episode. But what that does really is open up a door for his own ambition. It releases the demons, opens up the gates. For a guy who has broken plenty of rules but mostly played by the rules within his own party to date, now he is in a place where he has liberated himself from the rules and he's seeking power for power's sake. And I think that's the shift.
I wonder if you've noticed just how much Washington, D.C. loves to see itself on screen. I mean, they really enjoy. I mean, do you remember this series K Street that Steven Soderbergh
sure.
was involved in?
And Clooney as well.
And Clooney, exactly. I mean, there you were trying to do actual characters. I mean, there were people from political campaigns who starred in that. Everyone wanted a cameo. And the entire town of Washington, D.C. was consumed by what went on with K Street. Is it the same way with House of Cards?
From my friends who are in Washington and reports we're hearing in from the press, it's definitely made an impact in D.C. A lot of people are watching it. It's part of the collective water cooler discussion there. And I think D.C. is its own version of Hollywood. Politics is theater to a degree. In a lot of ways, politicians are amazing actors. They have a very limited range, but they know how to sell themselves to people. And that's what you're doing with stories in Hollywood. You're trying to sell a story, sell a narrative. So I think there's plenty of overlaps, and it's not surprising that they like to see themselves dramatized.
You know, what's interesting, I mentioned K Street, is that, you know, that series in the early part of the 21st century, I guess it began and ended in 2003, was not successful on HBO. It didn't ultimately get picked up. But I'm wondering if the distribution model that you're using now with Netflix, and the jury's still out on that a little bit, if that had been available back then, would you see a community that loves to see itself, a group of aficionados who are sort of trading the stories? This distribution model really works for this kind of story.
Sure. And what delivering all 13 episodes at once does is it gives the show a chance to win people over who have the opportunity to watch 3 or 4 or 5 episodes at a time. In a week-to-week model, you're playing the ratings game, and a lot of shows don't actually get a chance. So I think that we're going to see things moving in this direction as we go forward, and that's largely driven by audiences who have come to expect that they are empowered with the choice as to when they want to watch things, how they want to watch them, on what device they want to watch them on.
Finally, you know, in the way in which people rise and fall and are yanked down and the story proceeds in House of Cards, do you think in reality it's a lot harder to bring some of these folks down than you managed to do it in House of Cards? Does Washington work as smoothly to the evildoers as it seems to in House of Cards?
Yes and no. I mean, there are certainly cases where people get away with stuff. There are people who fight off scandal expertly. There are people that suffer from scandal or some sort of political takedown who are able to bounce back. But we do see cases of, you know, whether it's someone tweeting an inappropriate text from a gym where something can happen almost overnight, to something like the Hagel hearings, which it hasn't taken much to create quite a bit of controversy. It's a broad spectrum, and politics is politics. It has a cyclical nature. We don't learn from history, and we see the same sort of tactics used time and time again.
One of the things that I wonder if it worries you is there's a line in the second episode, I think, where Kevin Spacey talks about how he prefers power to money.
Such a waste of talent. He chose money over power. In this town, a mistake nearly everyone makes. Money is the McMansion in Sarasota that starts falling apart after 10 years. Power is the old stone building that stands for centuries. I cannot respect someone who doesn't see the difference.
It would seem to me that the new power in Washington these days is powerlessness, in the gridlock, in the sense of nothing getting done. Does that worry you in terms of your storyline, or you're free, right?
Well, I do think that, you know, many people are disillusioned by the political gridlock in Congress and by an administration that often finds itself struggling to push its agenda forward. And that's one of the things that makes Francis Underwood so attractive, that despite that environment, he gets things done. He makes a case for the ends justifying the means. And if his personal motive is power for power's sake, is that okay, given that he at least offers forward momentum in return? It's not a question we answer in the series, but it's certainly one that we pose.
Spacey's loving this, yeah.
I just saw Kevin this weekend, and we were both talking about how much we've enjoyed this process. It's been a huge challenge. It's a monumental amount of work. But I must admit, we're having a lot of fun, and I know he is for a fact.
Well, Bo Willimon, creator, producer, and writer of House of Cards, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.